Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the People Matters Radio Show. I'm your host, Savita. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really are grateful to have so many of you listening to our program this morning. And this is a third year running, and People Matters is proud to partner with the Rights Management team to present the HIPO Week 2015. Before we begin, I would like to tell you a little about the HIPO Week that we have in place. High potential leaders are individuals who demonstrate the potential, ability, and willingness to lead the ownership of responsibilities and challenges that are associated with more complex leadership roles. As Business Review, their year 2020 roadmap, it's now time to dwell deeper into how organizations can reach, design, and customize their HIPO program to define career opportunities for today's demographically diverse high-potential leaders. The aim is to optimize the current investments to prepare high-potential employees of today to become the leaders of tomorrow. It's such a pleasure to bring to you live our program to learn about the HIPO journey. Before I introduce our guests today, I'm sure that you all have been waiting for. Let me remind you that the show can be followed on Twitter with the hashtag #HIPOWeek. That's #HIPOWEEK week. Please share your comments and also post your questions so that we could bring it live on air so that the speaker and the host could take it up. Today we have with us on the show our guest Chris Shankar, head of HR Indian Subcontinent Philips, and our host Shakun Khanna, country head India Rights Management. For more than 28 years of experience in HR, Chris heads the HR Indian Subcontinent in Philips and was priorly associated with Bharti Airtel. Our other guest on the show is Shakun Khanna, who is the country head for Rights Management and carries more than 2 decades of international business and general management experience. It's a pleasure to, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you, Chris, and Shakun to the show.
Thank you, Savita.
So, welcome both of you. Before I hand over the microphone to Shakun to take over, I would definitely, now want to dive deep into the session. So, over to you, Shakun.
Thank you so much, Savita. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It is such a pleasure and a privilege to be celebrating the third year of the HIPO Week, which Rights Management takes a lot of pride in association with People Matters. As we have progressed on this journey, we have all learned and grown. And today is a very special day, particularly being here with Chris, welcoming him and having this discussion with him online. Thank you so much, Chris, for taking time out. Chris and I go a long way together. I have considered him as a friend, as a guide, as a mentor, and of course, as a client as well. So it's such a pleasure, Chris, being here with you once again. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks, Shakun, and thanks, Savita. Great to be here on this radio show. I was really interested in this very unique format, and I'm really happy to really share my experiences. And I hope we have an engaging and interesting conversation with all of you. Look forward to this.
Great. So, Chris, before we get into some of the questions which are very pertinent in the complex business environment, specifically in the context of managing HIPO, let me just ask you, how are you feeling? And I know you've been here at the helm of affairs at Philips, which is significantly different from your earlier roles. So how are you feeling, and what are some of the things that you are observing in your new industry here?
Oh, it's great. I think, as I said, I've seen many industries. Worked in Unilever for a long time, and in Airtel again for quite a long time. Philips is different. It's got both technology, it's got B2B, it's got consumer, and it's got lots of high-end innovation and technology kind of work. So therefore, it's a mix of many things. In a way, Philips is like a conglomerate. You know, it's got three or four different businesses, and that gives the added width. And each business is very different, you know, and for me it's a new learning because, you know, in a company like Unilever or Airtel, it's more like an FMCG. You could apply one kind of policy or process, but here you've got to think twice. So I think that's something we've got to keep in mind. So it's a different challenge, and I'm liking this.
With that rich experience with us today, Krish, I'm sure we are going to deeply benefit from this discussion. Now, before I ask you a couple of very specific questions, I just wanted to remind the audience here that please feel free to tweet your questions using hashtag HypoWeek in case you have any questions, and I will be delighted to post that question on your behalf to Krish. So, Krish, talking about the complexity of managing leadership and talent pipeline for organizations, specifically in this conglomerate kind of an environment. One of the things that we've always seen is that the organization's ability to create a differentiated experience for its hypos is very, very critical for the success of the entire program. However, a lot of organizations really struggle to do that. What do you think is amiss? What is it that we are not able to crack there?
Yeah. So I think, again, I believe in looking at the basic principles. Yeah. So firstly, let's go back and say, why do you need a hypo program? The HYPO program is needed where you want to identify certain people who have potential and you want to develop them to take on bigger roles in the future. Yeah. So I think that's the basic need. And if you really understand that, then I think you can really look at doing many things. Yeah. The problem most companies have, and I've seen it myself, is sometimes we lose sight of this end objective. Now, if our main objective is to identify people who I want to develop for the future, we can only do that by giving them certain differentiated experience. Yeah. Take this example for instance. You have a let's say a thoroughbred horse. Yeah. Somebody, a horse who can run, the Derby in whatever time. You know. Are you going to use that horse and make it run in the streets of Gurgaon or in Marine Drive? You're not going to get the best out of it. If you've got a thoroughbred horse, you want to make it run on the Dubai race or the London races, and you've got to stretch that. And the more it runs those races, the better it becomes. You know, so similarly, high potentials are people with potential. You got to stretch them, put them on projects, put them on jobs which really stretch them a little more, and different types of jobs and projects, so that they then become better, learn faster, and are ready to take on bigger challenges. So I think, to me, the first thing is the base of looking at a hypo is to really give them differentiated experiences, means different jobs. Stretch jobs, stretch projects, so that you can really push them to their limit. Now, below that, I think many companies do a lot of other things. That's where I think we've got to be a bit careful. Maybe some companies send them to different training programs, which is good. Some companies pay them a little higher, which has its own plus and minuses. There are other ways to tell people, those are more signals to tell people that they are hypos. But the core of a hypo is to give them big jobs and bigger projects so that they can develop.
And I think what you're saying, Krish, makes a lot of sense, because often, as a consulting organization, we have found that when we work with clients, sometimes it is the employer brand of the client that becomes the central premise of running such a program, or it could be retention. But what I hear you say is that largely the objective is to develop the capability and capacity of that individual to be able to run the Derby, as you very rightly said. So I think that's very critical and important. So when we look at your example of the horse wanting to, and hence the horse being given the opportunity of running those races, I'm sure it also has a huge motivational value to the other people, you know, other employees who may necessarily not be in the hyper pool as yet, but they may have, you know, latent potential. So my second question to you, Krish, is that hyper program, of course, has a potential to be a great motivator for the non-hypo employees as well. How can, in your mind, a hyper program be designed to make sure that it also serves as an aspiration or an inspiration for the larger talent pool? Specifically because, you know, there are kind of schools of thoughts around the disclosures, the kind of form to show around it, and the common communication around it. So how do you think it can be leveraged to motivate the other employees who are still not there?
Yeah. So I think the core to any good program is to ensure that it is, or the core to any program is to ensure fairness and inclusiveness, and make it accessible to all people. Now, if companies have a hyper program which is solely dependent on how they have been hired or which institutes they come from, then that hyper program will lose its value, because then you're really putting a kind of a source label on it. That loses value. If a hyper program is seen as a fair program, it's seen as a program where anybody who's showing those behaviors and potential can be put onto that program, people will be motivated to do that. Yeah. So I think we should avoid a hyper program which has anything to do with education background or the institutes you come from, or, you know, those kind of things. But if you really say these are the behaviors you got to show, these are the things that we feel are indicative of potential, and if you're showing these behaviors, you can be on the hyper program. Then I think everyone will feel that they have a chance to get into that.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've got to do. Make it open. And the best way to do is publicize it, saying people like this will be in a high potential, and high potential means they will be put on stretch projects and develop for the future.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very interesting thought that you have put on the table, Krish, in terms of providing the level playing field. In fact, you've also answered the first question that we received on Twitter from S.V. Raghunandan, which was what recognition programs and encouragement would be required to retain the hypos. I will have a specific question around hypo retention as we go along. But before that, this is also a very big ticket investment from an HR perspective. We are seeing more and more investment, both in terms of time, energy, as well as money going into the hypo programs. Now, in spite of all the focus that the organizations are putting, retaining high potential employees is a constant challenge for organizations. What do you think are some of the reasons for relatively lower rate of retention of the high potential?
Now, this is an interesting challenge. Yeah. So let's look at companies which have done very well in retaining their high potential. Yeah. And let's look at companies which have not done very well in retaining high potential, and maybe that will give us a clue. For example, if countries who are retaining very well, companies who are retaining their high potentials very much, are those that really, you know, give them that differentiated experience? And a hypo should know that, listen, if I stay in this company, my chance of making it and growing here is better than going elsewhere. And to do that, you've got to give them signals of right jobs, jobs that they would not probably get elsewhere, you know, moving them faster in their career. And number three, a lot of top-level mentoring and coaching, and signals like, you know, compensation around it. So I think, the man, if I'm a hypo, I would say, what is the benefit for me by staying in this company vis-a-vis going to the other company? So if I'm a hypo, then am I going to grow faster in this company than when I go there? I think that's what you got to really look at. And you got to provide that kind of differentiated experience, you know, giving them global experiences, giving them jobs which are bigger than what they are doing, and growing them faster are really the only ways you can retain high potential. You can't retain them by paying them a little more salary, because they'll soon look for other jobs, other places that they can go. So salary is just a kind of a signal. It gives a kind of a indication to them. But the best way is to really move them on different jobs, give them stretch projects, and give them a career that they would not have got, they've got more than they had bargained for.
Yeah. No, I think one of the things, Krish, that you mentioned around retention is also about mentoring support. But talk to me a bit more about the mentoring, specifically around what you believe are the expectations of these hypos from their mentor, and are they any different from non-hypo, for the lack of any other word?
So I think, okay, two things. One is every employee benefits from a good amount of mentoring, yeah, especially early on in the early first few years. I think mentoring helps them a lot. And I think every organization should strive to really give some amount of mentoring to all its early managers, early people that they hire, number one. Number two, on hypos, I think the best thing about thing is hypos, you're putting them as hypos because you find they have an amount of learning agility. They're able to learn and grow faster, yeah, and able to learn and grasp. And they've got an ambition to develop themselves faster. That's why they are hypos. And those guys are very much open to mentoring, yeah. So therefore, I think they'll benefit a lot more. Number two, also most hypos have, while they're very good in some, they also have some derailers. Yeah, they also have one or two areas where they're not so good at, which will derail them. And I think if you're putting all your investment in hypos, it's also important that you manage these derailers. Otherwise, what you're going to do is you're going to pump up a few guys as hypos. If you're not working on their derailers, they'll soon kind of, you know, lose their way as they go forward. I've seen many hypos who've got some derail. For example, a hypo was a little, let's say, arrogant or and then over-ambitious or arrogant. And then soon what happens is they go up and very soon they kind of, you know, fall. So I think hypos will have derailers, and it's important that we spend that time, talk to them and explain to them how they can work on it. That's why they need good mentors, you know, mentors who've done well in the company, whose word they will trust, who can really help them grow. I think that's what helps hypos more.
Yeah. And I think in the context of not just the hypo, but overall talent development and unleashing the potential of this newer generation, mentoring is starting to play an even critical role here. With technology coming in, with social changes coming in, the way people are looking at learning and developing their own careers is also significantly changing. Talking about changes and talking about careers, you know, our colleague SP Raghunandan on Twitter has an interesting perspective, which I would like you to share your perspectives as well.
Yeah. So
Raghu says that by providing clear career paths during the induction, can we not retain hypos from looking for alternate careers? What are your views, Krish, on this?
Yeah. So, Raghu, I think it's a good point. You know, I think that applies to all employees. You know, providing a clear career path helps them. To hypos, I think you've got to really also ensure that the path also is realized, you know, and they're also getting their bigger jobs faster and getting differentiated experiences. For example, getting a kind of a overseas assignment or leading a big project, you know, with lots more stress and stretch and visibility. So all these really help them develop. And sometimes these jobs may not be part of the regular career path. Sometimes these may be a little bit different jobs, but that helps them grow and stretch. And as HR and as leaders, we got to keep our eyes open for all these opportunities and say, okay, where can I really put this guy? And there are hundreds of projects, hundreds of opportunities that keep coming in the company. And if we really, you know, if HR and the leaders sit down and say, listen, every project will also be an opportunity for us to develop our high potentials, we'll have a lot more going. You'll have great projects getting success as well as great development of hypo. So I think this is where the need of the organization has to just put together, and that's where HR has to play a role in bringing this together.
Yeah. No, I think your perspective on not only hypo development by putting them in newer and better initiatives is going to build the capability for the future, but I really like the thought of how it will contribute to the existing projects as well and unleash more creativity. So ladies and gentlemen, right now we are in conversation with Krish Shankar, the head of HR for Indian subcontinent at Philips. We are talking about the hypo programs and the development of high potential employees. If you have any specific questions, you can tweet us the question using the hashtag HypoWeek. We still have a couple of minutes, and we can use this opportunity to table your questions to Mr. Shankar. So, Krish, moving on, since we were talking about the investment, both in terms of the opportunity, the opportunity cost per se, and the leadership bandwidth that goes into this, why do you think still the return on investment, the way we see at not only the HYPO program, but the overall general development program with a specific focus on developing high potential leadership, is still something which is not as high as other business initiatives? And what are some of the thoughts that you believe can be leveraged to increase the return on investment on the high potential investment?
Well, I think it's an important question, and we got to really look at it in perspective. Number one, I think the return on investment on high potential development is much more longer term. Yeah, unlike other business initiatives, this is much more longer term. And you got to really look at it over that time. Yeah, it's not something you'll see returns soon, but you'll see returns over time. Number two, many of the returns are intangibles. Yeah, many of the returns are which really build over time. So I think that's what it is. Now, having said that, let's look at how you can improve your return on investment. And you can improve your return on investment by just two ways. One is ensuring that you have a great leadership pipeline, that you've got great amount of guys ready to take on bigger positions, and you're able to grow faster. Yeah, and that you can do with a HYPO development program. So I think the core is how are you developing your pipeline? How solid is your pipeline? That, I think, is the only measure of looking at your return on investment on HYPO development. And to do that, I think you got to, in Unilever, we had something thing called a list cover. We used to look at the number of jobs at a higher level and say how many people are high potentials at a lower level who can take that up. You know, that was a kind of a rough estimate of saying, okay, this is the kind of cover that I have to really take on senior bench. I think, you know, if you want to really develop that, then I think you've got to clearly focus only one thing. Mm-hmm. How am I developing guys to take on next roles? That's all. Single-mindedly work on those. Then you will improve your return on investment. If you do many things, if you give them training, if you give them this, if you give them hundreds of, it'll not work. Your only thing should be if my aim is to really develop them to take on as leaders, as successors, just work on that. How can I really work? And that way you will be able to improve your return on investment.
In fact, this is a very interesting perspective because, you know, it's like where you started, what is the end in mind, you know? So not only the end in mind is to develop the potential of people, but also make sure that they are ready to take those leadership positions as and when the organization needs. However, there's another dichotomy that exists specifically on the people managers front. And I think there's a very interesting question that I would table, Krish, for you, which comes from one of our colleagues called Kalpesh Thakur over Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
His question is that managers of HYPOs, it's specifically to do the people managers of the HYPOs, the managers of HYPOs feel risk of losing them by developing them. What are your thoughts around it?
Yeah, I think that's... I don't know. I mean, I think that's where probably a lack of perspective or education is needed. Yes, they will lose them, but I think, you know, that's where the culture of the company needs to be built. Suppose a people manager is developing HYPOs. That HYPO will go and do a role in some other business or some other division or department of the company and grow. What we need to do is recognize such people who are developing such HYPOs. Yeah, I think if you don't recognize people, managers, you demotivate them. So recognizing them, giving them good people under them. And how do you recognize them? By giving them HYPOs. And more HYPOs you give, the HYPOs will work harder, faster, and they'll develop faster and do that. And that will help people manage. So I think you've got to really create a virtuous cycle of letting people managers have HYPOs. They develop them, move the HYPOs out fast, get more HYPOs in. And if you keep moving good quality talent and good quality HYPOs under people managers, they'll be really happy to develop.
Yeah.
And that's where it, and I think this may vary. You know, some industries may have very high domain-oriented jobs, and there people may like to have people over domain, say in a domain knowledge. For example, in our business, we have healthcare where knowledge of certain parts of healthcare, like imaging systems, is important, and continuity helps in that. And that's where we got to really ensure how you develop people to keep both the domain as well as to really grow them faster. And that becomes a challenge for companies. But to Kalpesh's question, I think you've got to educate and motivate people, managers, to develop hypos. The only way you can reward them is to give them more hypos so that they have more better people to work with and develop them, and their work gets better.
This is so thrilling, Krish. You know, and when you're having a meaningful conversation with a great leader with a lot of experience and insights, time seems to fly. I think, you know, I can only regret that we only have as much time. But I think probably I'll use this opportunity to ask you one more question, which again has come on Twitter from Aarti Shivaram. And this question is very, very different. You know, it's looking at the opposite side. Mm-hmm. You know, while we are talking about engaging and managing the hypos, growing and developing them, mentoring them, we also earlier during our conversation today talked about how do we use this hypo program as a motivator for other people to gun for it and to strive for it. However, the question here is, how do you manage the expectations and emotions of those people who really don't make it to the hypo program? Because as employees, they are also very critical.
Yeah. So I think that's where the company has to really build. You know, hypo should not be made an exclusive program that you can never get into it. Yeah. So it should be there. Number two, company should also really reward other types of things. For example, people may not get into hypo, but they may be very good with expertise, you know, with knowledge. So therefore, reward people as experts. Give them the same kind of, you know, similar, not the same, but similar benefits that you'd give a hypo. For example, giving them expertise projects, community leadership, and those kind of things. Also, reward your solid citizens. I think in some way, I think these are the core of your people. 50% or 60% of every organization are solid core people who really work and deliver results. So how do you reward them? So they should not feel that they will not grow just because they are not hypos. But they should be able to grow within the company and providing opportunities for them to develop and grow. And lastly, looking at opportunities to see how you can improve the potential. And that's where some amount of training and mentoring will come in. I know there is, in Unilever those days, we used to have something called a watch list, or you can have somebody who says, this is a borderline potential, and every company has that. You have people who identify as, yeah, these are borderline cases, so you work on them, help them, give them through programs and mentor them so that they can become hypos also. So I think we got to really ensure that there is no demotivator. There are different avenues for people to go.
No, I think that is very important. You know, 50 to 60% of our people are solid citizens. And I believe that, you know, typically in an organization, you know, about 25 to 30% are the people who are kind of really in that hypo talent pool. Focusing on borderline cases is equally important. When we work with a lot of clients, we've realized that these borderline cases could be low-hanging fruits in terms of, you know, helping substitute people who choose to leave the organization from the hypo pool. And some kind of specific developmental initiatives can really bring them up. So I think that's about it, Krish. Thank you so much once again for your time. It is such a pleasure and privilege always to talk to you and hear different perspectives from you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. We are continuing with the third Hypo Week, and throughout this week, this is just the second day today, and already there's a lot of action. We welcome you to participate in multiple other initiatives that we have planned through this week and later on. Thank you so much. I'll hand it over to Savita. Over to you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Krish, and thank you for beautifully hosting it, Shakun. We still have a couple of unanswered questions on Twitter while I see, you know, there's a question from Vikram, then we have a question from Prashant and more. So I would definitely request Krish, if you could punch in a few of the responses, if time allows, on Twitter. With this, thank you all for sharing your thoughts and your questions and identifying the key takeaways from this discussion with the larger community with so much of generosity. With this, we come to the end of this super exciting radio show. We definitely want to have a big thanks for Krish, head of HR, Indian subcontinent at Philips, and a big thank you to Shakun as well, country head, right management. Thank you, Krish. Thank you, Shakun.
Thank you.
Thank you, each one of you, for tuning in today live on air. Don't forget to join us at 3 p.m. today for the virtual coaching class by Kuldeep Ahuja, Executive Coach at Right Management, ex-MD and CEO Cycle India, and Executive EVP IBM, where he'll talk about navigating your hypo-career path. With this, we now close our radio program, and we wish you a great and a very inspiring day ahead. Thank you so much, everybody.